Well, happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Non-Traditional Student. I am Allison. I am the student. I started school this week. We just got back from vacation. I apologize. It's been so long since I tried to get this out. I'm tired. I've been getting up at 3:45 every morning just so I could drink some coffee before I have to go to school. It's rough. It's really rough. It's been rough on our whole family this week. Hopefully it starts to even out. And it's not going to get better anytime soon. I also went out and got a job yesterday at a bakery just up the street that is going to require about the same hours. So, it sounds like we'll talk about that later, but yeah, pretty excited to get a job, number one. But, the 4 a.m. thing, it's pretty rough. I'm exhausted. I'm actually ready to go to bed right this moment. But today's episode, I kind of been going back and forth on how I wanted to do it. I was considering just doing it so that it was, one class, just our fundamentals, a baking and pastry class, by itself in one episode. But then I still have another two episodes I would have to do in order to catch up to where we are now. And by the time I get that done, that's when this class is over, and then I'm still playing catch up. So I don't really want to do that. I think what I would like to do today is just cover my fundamental of baking pastry, and I would like to cover the cooking for baking and or professional cooking for baking, sorry. And then our professional development course. I won't go too deep into any of it. I'll just kind of hit some basics along with what was going on at home as well. This hasn't been easy. Going back to school has not been easy in my family. It's been a lot of extra stress on my husband and on my middle child, and I think my daughter is even feeling a little stress. It hasn't been easy on me either. School in general stress, like having to do homework again, not really being available to help out as much with my daughter as I should be. Coming home exhausted every day, I mean, like, well, how come I always have to come home to a mess? It's exhausting for everyone. Originally, when I planned this out, I wanted to do every single class period for this class. And then when it got to professional cooking for baking, I didn't feel the need to do that. So it's been a process figuring out how to do it. But yeah, like I do suffer some mental health issues, and as I get more tired and stressed out, they come out more, and I apologize for that. You can definitely, everyone when they're tired, their brain kind of bounces, but mine goes like triple worse than that. Yeah, I want to talk about the mental health stuff a little bit. Trying to find a job with a changing and crazy schedule. English was doing on top of the cooking classes, because that's what we're all here anyway. So we'll start with the mental health issues. I don't want to go into too much detail at this point in time with what mine are, as just I do have them. With most mental health issues, they are exacerbated by change of routine, stress, and we have nothing but stress, lack of sleep, eating poorly, lack of exercise. And I thought, walking from the train station to school plus activity in school would really help with the exercise portion, but it really hasn't. I haven't been eating well since we moved here. Like I've eaten pretty poorly, eating a lot of crap. The stress is just nonstop and always piling on. It's been really hard. Plus, I don't really have any friends here. Like most people I go to class with are very young. The person I've gotten closest to, I'd say, is only 22 or 23 years old. I think she's only 22. I think her birthday is not for a while. And that's weird. And like this current set of classes, I don't get to see her at all. The other person I got pretty close to, was more like a kid to me than a, classmate or anything. And I mean that like more like my own kid. you know, so I just really don't have a whole lot of people to talk to. There is one, my teacher for Foundations of Baking, Chef Marianne, she's great. I really like her. I think if things were different, we could definitely be friends, but I am a student and she is the instructor, so there's a professional boundary there. But yeah, it's been rough. Like, the school does offer mental health services, which is amazing. It's just rough to want to step out of my comfort zone and go use that. I probably should. But I'm also hoping starting to work and gaining some financial independence and things like that. I've been completely reliant on my husband since we moved here, and I hate having to ask him for money. I'm very used to having my own money. When I wasn't working before, I was trying not to access our savings account just so I didn't, you know, I try not to access it, so I had to ask him for money, and it bothered me so bad. I ended up using our savings account for a lot of things I didn't plan on having to use it for, just because asking him for money was not my favorite thing to do. And, you know, honestly, we had to drain the savings account anyway, so for other reasons. Anyway. And I'm not the only one with mental health issues. Like, I believe my son also suffers some mental health issues. Both my boys, I think, do. Especially my younger son. I think my husband probably has some mental health issues that, you know, that's up to him to talk about and address at some point. It was hard not being able to find a job. I applied to probably 30 different bakeries in the Chicagoland area, ones that were close, ones that were far. I applied to a couple of chocolate shops because it's something I already knew what I was doing a little bit. I never heard, the only thing I ever heard back was, try again next year when you're ready for your internship. Which is great, like a lot, just not hearing back sucks. Being told next year sucks. I tried to apply at Target even they didn't want to hire me because my schedule was too crazy. And I don't blame them. Like, it's a nuts schedule, and it was like, well, this 3-week, 4-week period, yeah, I could totally work those hours, but the next 4-week period, I can't. And then I have open availability, but then I don't. It's a lot to ask. This is a normal college schedule where it's like, no, for 3 months this is a schedule, and 3 months that's a schedule. It's pretty hectic. But it's fast paced. Like, a culinary school, at least at Kendall, is very fast paced. Every month is something different. I don't know if it changes later, but it seems like every month it is going to be different. Because you're supposed to also be working to achieve the same skills. A lot of these people I'm working with, they already, or I shouldn't say working with, going to school with, they've already achieved some of these skills, whereas I have not. You know, so there's that. But it's been pretty rough. So we will start with talking about my Foundations of Baking with Chef Marianne Avalos. And if I am saying her name wrong, I feel really bad. Chef Tom has been one of my favorite teachers. She's probably been one of my favorite people in the school so far. I really enjoy her. Like I said, I think if it was a different sort of situation, we could definitely be friends. And maybe even after I am done with school, we could be friends, I hope. She's probably a little bit older than my oldest sister. Not too much, though. She's really nice, but she's extremely professional. It's just what it should be. It's, you know, yes, she is a teacher, and yes, she needs to instruct people to what we're doing, but, you know, truth of the matter is, when we go out and find jobs, professionalism is going to be key, especially if you want to do more high-end items. And a lot of people are just treating it almost like it's high school, and she is demanding more of her students than that. My understanding is the class she had right before mine, which is still technically my graduating class, but the class she had the month before mine just kind of made her very frustrated. But talking to other students in the same class, where at first they thought she was the problem, they, by like 3 weeks into the class, like, she's not the problem, the students are the problem. You know, when your classmates are just like, okay, well, you know, you're the problem, not the teacher, it gets special. A couple of people told me that, and my new class with these people now told me that they thought she was a little racist. It's like, well, funny, because we didn't see that at all. We people of the same race as you. The issue is you guys don't take it seriously and you act a fool. Maybe that's the problem, when you act a fool and you're disruptive to your table mates. So, you know, she wants things to be professional. She wants things to work the way they should. She wants to get so many things done. And I, you know, I have a different teacher now who I also enjoy. I like her a lot. Just, I prefer Chef Marianne's teaching style. She, you know, isn't worried about getting out in time. She's worried about getting us the most knowledge that we can. And I appreciate that so very much. Cause she's trying to get us prepared to move on. She wants us to do it right. One thing I could say is I wish that, like Chef Tom, and a couple of the others, including the chef I have now, are definitely more like, hey, you're learning. We don't expect you to do it perfect. We just want to see that you're trying. We don't expect perfection. There are some people who they do. They want to be perfect. They demand perfection of themselves. I'm not that person right now. I'm just trying to learn. Perfection is what I feel will come later after I have done it a bunch of times. And even if it's never perfect, as long as it's really good, taste, texture, and flavor wise, I don't need it to be perfect ever. I just need it to be awesome. But yeah, she's big on etiquette. She does want everyone to move, keep things done. She wants you to keep your kitchen clean. You may, man, I have to actually go grab my charger. So I am going to real quick just pause this guy and I will be right back. I apologize. I am back. I think I was saying that. Oh, now I feel a burp. That's just adorable. Excuse me. Sorry. But yeah, she just wants everyone to be professional. She wants to smooth. She wants to keep it clean. And it's very interesting now in different classes saying how people are different with that. One of the biggest things that I find weird and hard with our classes is every single day it's a completely fresh and new subject, or at least it feels like it is. Like our first day, we made cookies using the creaming method. And then we did something different the next day. The next day, I don't remember what we did, but we ended up making, the first week we made like the cookies, chocolate cake. We made an apple pie. Honestly, the day we made a chocolate cake with a Swiss meringue buttercream was one of our worst days in the kitchen, where everything just got really messy and we took too long doing it. Will I say that's necessarily a bad thing? No. We're learning. Some of it, yes. Some of it's already new. But, you know, as far as, like, making a Swiss meringue buttercream, I've never done it before. As far as decorating our cakes, it took us longer than she felt it should have. She felt we should have been faster. But, you know, we were just learning. And, again, some people want things to be perfect. Like our apple pie, which was a little bit after this, she was just like, hey, your lattices are too small, but I thought I'd follow directions. Or, like, the gaps in between my lattices were too big, so my strips were too small. And I also learned that Chef Marianne likes things sweet, whereas, like, I prefer things tart. I learned that with our apple pies, because she looked at me and was like, did you put the sugar in there like I asked you to? I was like, I did, actually. I put in, you know, after we talked about it, I added more than half the sugar that I had left. Like, you know, I only left out maybe a quarter of the sugar. And she was just like, are you sure? It's like, yeah, I am sure. So, you know, she likes things fairly sweet. But in this class, you know, you really are just learning basics. Like, we learned basics on the pies. We learned basics with cookies. We learned basic with cake. We also learned basic with yeasted doughs and vanasserie, which includes croissants, which is a vanasserie and yeasted dough. It's both. We learned how to make focaccia. We learned how to make brioche and challah bread. We learned how to braid challah bread. Let's see, we made a frangipane tart, which I did not love. Theirs actually called something different. When I asked her, she said it's the same thing. We put poached pears on it. I liked the poached pears. I did not like the almond paste filling. I thought it was kind of gross. We learned how to use some of the kitchen equipment. I will say this. Some people thought she was unfair. I actually felt she was very fair. She was very articulate in what you did wrong and what you did right. So, you know, what I've learned is some of the chefs don't really tell you what you're not doing right on your rubrics. Like, we have daily rubrics. And there's it's different rubrics, but the same rubric for every class. Like, you get graded on professionalism, you get graded on sanitation. Professionalism, by the way, includes the way you look, having your station set up just so. And that's per your chef. However your chef wants it set up is how it's to be set up. And every chef is different. So it's, you get graded on teamwork. You get graded on how your food actually turns out. I've never done great with the, like, I've done fair, like, approaching competence or whatever with my food. I have been graded pretty decently. I think I've only gotten, like, a middle grading once, which, you know, even whenever I was like, yeah, that's fair. But, you know, Chef Marianne is very articulate about why she's grading you in certain ways. Like, well, your hair was a mess, and I told you to fix it, and you didn't, so sanitation, you got dinged. Hey, I saw you, like, wipe out your eye and keep working. Ding. As far as professionalism, hey, you looked a little sloppy today, or, hey, you know, you weren't prepared, you didn't use the right tools for the way I was telling you to use them, and she is. She's like, hey, if I tell you to do this, I mean, do this. Don't do it your way. You do it my way. It is my kitchen. And for anyone looking to go in a culinary field, that is something to remember. It is your chef's kitchen. You don't do it your way. You do it their way, even if you don't agree with it. That's just a good rule of thumb. Our next chef was Chef Jack. He did things differently. Now I have Chef Heidi, and she does things differently. Chef Tom does things differently as well. And that's just a good rule of thumb if you're going to go into culinary. If no matter where you work, your chef will do it differently. One of the reasons why it's so important to go to culinary school is because you do learn that there. But you're also learning the classic techniques and how to do things, not just one chef's preference. So just so we're all clear on that, which I believe we've gone over before, but this is more so pushing why that is important. We did get to plate desserts. This is also a class. And it's important because it happened right before the plate of dessert, where my husband and I got horrible food poisoning. We ate at a relatively local Chinese restaurant. Brookfield actually does not have any Chinese restaurants that I have found. It's in a neighboring town. I'm not going to name it in case it was just a one-off thing. Or maybe we didn't even get food poisoning. Maybe it just, our stomach said no thank you. But he and I both, we both ate the same thing, whereas our kids ate something different. They were egg rolls, actually, with a weird meat paste in the center that tasted a little funny, but not, like, off, just different. And it kind of tastes like peanut butter. And we both got, like, wicked sick from it. Like, the whole, probably about midnight that night, we're both like, man, our tummies hurt, like, waking up. And then by 2 a.m., we were both going in and out of the bathrooms, like, when I was coming out, he was going in, vice versa. It was not a restful night. I hated doing it. Missing a day in culinary school or pastry school is damaging. I did not get an A in this class because I missed one day. Things I missed in that day. I missed making panna cotta. I don't know how to make panna cotta. I'm going to have to figure it out on my own. I missed that. Because you only get to do it for one day. I missed making chantilly. Which, that's actually easier to figure out on your own, but, you know. I missed making brownies, which I was able to actually make them the next day. And I'll be honest, I was still sick the next day. Like, had the shakes, sick, but I was able to get through it. I was hungry, but I was able to get through it because we didn't. Let's put it this way. The day I said, hey, I can't make it to school, like, I'm really sick, I had actually gotten dressed and gotten ready to go to school. I stepped outside and threw up. Like, I threw up in my bushes, and there wasn't anything left to throw up. So I went back inside, changed right back onto my clothes, and sent my chef an email, saying, I'm so sorry, I can't make it. Like, I'm really sick. I think I have food poisoning. I can't, it's not safe for me to even be around food right now. You know, all I could hear in my head was from our sanitation course, and our chef, who is also the assistant dean of Kendall, saying, you could kill somebody, you will die. Thank you, Chef Kang. That is all half of us here in our heads now. You will kill somebody, you will die. Sanitation, I don't know why I didn't cover it here. I really should have. It's an important thing, is to get your serve safe, but we could talk about that a different day. Chef Kang is a riot. I like him. He also told us how he never gets a speck or a stain on his jacket or apron. It's just like, Sure. But no, I'm also seeing that, you know, other chefs tend to also not get stained. So it's just like, well, I watch them cook and they don't get stained. So it's like, okay, it's accurate. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, these are crash course, fast-paced classes. The nice thing about these classes is, especially in Chef Marianne's class, you did very much learn who you did not want to be paired with based on their work ethic and their cleanliness, their organization, and their hustle. There were people there who always kept everybody else waiting, and it wasn't that they were producing such beautiful, fine things. It was that they were kind of just, and excuse the language, I guess, they were fucking around, essentially. They were taking their sweet time. I don't know if they thought they were doing really good or if they just didn't care. They didn't want to help clean. Their stations were always really super messy. You know, and oddly enough, it's the same people. So it's the same people who don't hustle. It's the same people who have kind of shitty work ethic and don't want to help out. It's the same people who don't clean up after themselves. They are the people who are dumping their dishes at the sink and leaving them for other people to do, even as our chef instructor was saying, who's leaving their dishes at the sink? So we started saying, stop dumping your dishes at the sink. We didn't call anyone out, but we said it very loudly. You know, calling people out gets to be a little rude. And it comes to a point where, okay, what's being unprofessional versus what's kind of confronting someone and what's our place to do that? Like it happened today during class where one of our classmates said, guys, stop not finishing the dishes. You bring them over, you wash them, you rinse them, you sanitize them, you put them on the drying rack. When you're done washing your dishes, you dry them, you put them away. You don't leave them here. And is he wrong? No. Is he right? Not completely. You know, when it comes to doing dishes, honestly, for sanitation purposes, you're not supposed to dry your dishes. You are supposed to let them air dry. However, when you have a limited amount of space and 20 different people using and washing dishes and needing to use the dishes as they're getting clean, yeah, dry them and put them away. Reuse your dishes. Don't wash it and then put it to the side and grab a new one. Reuse what you got. And I think for some people that's a struggle. So anyway, but yeah, just be aware how fast paced this is. I think culinary kind of does things a little bit differently. I think what they do tends to tie in. So like if they're working with, steak today, they're still working with steak tomorrow, but they're doing something different with, or if they're working with a bechamel sauce, which is a mother sauce today, they're also doing bechamel tomorrow, but they're doing something different with it. But going on from there, our final for this, there was no written test or anything. We did have pretty much daily quizzes in this class. So there was reading, there was homework to do, but mostly it was just quizzes, which I'm not going to lie, I kind of preferred. But Chef Marianne was very good about making sure the stuff in the slideshows was the stuff that she was teaching, which was the stuff on the quizzes. Which I really appreciated that. That's not so much what's happening right now. There's a lot of extra reading, so it's more like a regular college course, while still being a culinary course that is very fast-paced. So it's a lot extra, or so it feels. But our final for this course, and this course is only 4 weeks long, is 20 class periods. So for anyone who likes to skip school, just be aware that if you miss one class, you will most likely not get an A. Or if you know you got a mid-grade A and you miss one class, there's no way to get an A. I should know because I had a middle A, and then I had a high B. So, and this particular chef, Chef Marianne, does not give you recommendations for Bs. I was talking to her about that today, actually, about like, you know, I'm really bummed I missed that one day because I would have loved, just loved and really wanted to have your, be able to use you as a reference, and I can't. And she was like, yeah, I know, I'm sorry. It's like, no, it's a fair standard. I hate that I got that things happen the way they did because I missed class and it made it so I didn't get an A and I should have. And she's like, I know, I'm sorry. Rules are rules. And it's her personal rule, which is fine. I don't disagree with it. I just think I should be an exception. But also in this class, we did plated desserts. Another thing to think of, if you want to go into the pastry world where you want to specialize in plated desserts, it is great to make something that is very unique. It is great to make something that is very one-off. You're not going to find it many places, and that looks pretty in a magazine. Just remember, if you're actually working in a restaurant, fine dining wise, like a truly fine dining restaurant, it's not as big of a deal to do something that's very, I won't say elaborate, because elaborate's not real popular with desserts. It gets to be too much. But something that has a lot of components, maybe done in very fancy ways, that's more fine because you probably have more time to be able to do it depending on what you're doing. But you still want it to be something that other people can copy, and you want it to be something that can be copied so it looks like everyone did the same thing, but you need to be able to still do it within a reasonable amount of time. I mean, our plate of dessert was a brownie and a slice of cheesecake, and then with a couple of sauces, like actually the picture I used for this podcast, it's an AI generated image, but it's based off a picture of my plated desserts that I made. You know, you want it to be simple. You want it to be elegant. That is actually what is more in style now for general dining. So fine dining is, you know, when you have maybe three options to pick from. It's like so many courses. You get to pick maybe one of three things. It's a very small menu. And so those desserts are not even for that sort of menu. I would call them high, I don't know, somewhere in between fine dining and average dining. Best example I have, I'm trying to think of local restaurants, especially considering half the people who listen live in Davenport. So like Duck City, we like to call it fine dining. It's not, guys. It's probably like mid-tier dining for Chicago, or like higher-end mid-tier dining. We'll call it high-end dining. So fine dining is limited options. Everything has a concept. Everything very much matches. Whereas like Duck City or the Garrison, yeah, they kind of have a concept, but let's be really truthful. Most of the things on the menu at the Garrison don't really have much to do with speakeasy, the 1920s or anything like that, but it's all very good, expensive, well done food. So like the desserts they make there are pretty basic and standard. However, they put their own special twist on them, but it's a high end average dining thing. Not fine dining. I don't know if Steventon's maybe is more high end. I just can't think of anywhere in the Quad Cities that would actually be considered high end dining. Probably cause I was poor and I didn't get to do that. Anyway, and high end dining, just so we are aware, it's usually costing about $200 and some odd per person. So yeah, we have places where it's like $50 per, you know, entree, but your appetizer is, or your salad is separate, but it's, you know, only $15. Your drink is probably still, if your drink is soda, only $4. If you have booze, it's probably about $20. But you know, you're not getting anywhere close to that $200, $238. Like Chef Marianne showed us, you know, plated desserts from a high-end establishment. They're actually a company that only does high-end dining, and it's like $238 a person. They make sugar balloons with helium in it. I think that's awful and terrible to even do, but that's what they do. But yeah, high-end dining is crazy. It's not something I've experienced as of yet, technically. But anyway, sorry, I get stuck on Chef Marion because I like her so much. Yeah, anyway. Our final for this class was to redo our apple pie and our dinner rolls. And they were pretty basic yeast dinner rolls. Chef Marianne was not there that day. She had a reason she could not be there. So Chef Tom was our judge. And so the way this works is it's supposed to be silent. Anyone who will meet Chef Tom in the future knows that Chef Tom is not silent. I think he has an issue with silence. Like, he could be silent while he's working on his thing. And then the minute he's done working on his thing, he's out there talking. He wants to help you out. He's a wonderful chef instructor. He's just not a silent chef instructor. In fact, I kind of hope no one from Kendall hears this until after the man retires. Because I actually love that he was there helping out. And he was telling people, like, hey, you know, you're doing this, but this is what you should do. And it'll make it turn out better. He's a great chef instructor. That day was very aggravating to me. It was a very fast-paced day. We still had our normal, like, rather than a five-hour course, it was 4 hours. The thing that got to me most was people who are normally pretty good about, okay, guys, let's get her done. Let's get it cleaned up. We're just taking their sweet time, kind of horsing around. And I'm looking around the room like, guys, you know, even though they're not done, if we get stuff cleaned up by the time they're done, it's going to take us 5 minutes to get it done. Let's just get done what we can now. Like, this half of the room is done. Let's sweep her up. Let's get it done. And they were just like, uh-huh. And kept talking and horsing around. You know, that's their choice. There's not much I can do about that. I could be irritated all I want. It doesn't change how it worked out. In this class, it also became very clicky. You know, and that's not anything to do with the school. That is not anything to do with the instructors. It's just what people do. They gravitate towards each other. They click. They tend to shut off. I'm older. There's a particular classmate who calls me Mama Allison, which is sometimes very irritating. She doesn't do it all the time. It's just when I remind her particularly of her mother, so it's kind of painful. And she's actually younger than my son, so, you know, fair. Yeah. So I don't really get to, I get along with everyone, but I don't get to be part of their groups, which kind of stinks because there's not very many people there who are close to my age, except for the instructors. And you know, like, it's something I've talked to Chef Tom about, and he's like, yeah, it kind of stinks, but you know, you're also going out in the world and you're gonna be older and people are gonna think twice about hiring you just based on your age. And I was like, that's painful, but true. That is accurate. It's a hardcore truth. Ageism is out there. Ageism is definitely a thing. No one likes it, but you know, I've been hiring. I hate to admit that I was a little wary in hiring older people because older people are set in their ways. They're less likely to want to learn. And they also just tend to kind of not really want to do anything. To be truthful, is how I feel. And that's a bias of mine. I can admit it. They want to do things their way. They only want to do the things they want to do. And if you're told, like, hey, that's not really how it works here. No, you don't get to take a 15, 20 minute break every 10 minutes. They tend to not want to work. Anywho, but yeah, the final went well. I got a high B on my final. Yeah, I guess high B. I did well on professionalism. I did well on, actually, I might've gotten a low A on that. I think I did. I think I got a low A. I would actually have to look it up. I didn't. I think it was a low A. It was this sort of thing. It's just like, you know, if my missed day hadn't happened, it would have pushed me over into having a high A in the class. So super freaking irritating that I missed that day. Don't miss a day of culinary or pastry school, guys. It's a bad plan. But okay. During this time, also, I was still doing English. During this particular class, we finished up our second milestone, which I already talked about last time. And that was the, like, Spanglish is a superpower thing for me. It was a summary and response milestone. The next one was a research paper. And again, I really like the teacher. She is currently my speech teacher. I do like her a lot. She's a really nice woman and she really just wants everyone to do well, but she gets, by trying to break things down and make it easier for people, she actually just makes it a lot more complicated. But for my research paper, I did a subject that comes from the podcast I like to listen to, like listening to true crime and horror and ghost stories, essentially, paranormal. My favorite podcast I listen to all the time would be, And That's Why They, And That's Why We Drink. And they covered both these stories, of course. But so my subject was mythologized woman serial killers, fact versus fiction. And this honestly should be a podcast by itself. They're actually, for one of the ladies I covered, there is a podcast about it. I'm going to post the link to her podcast. And this was her college thesis. She was one of my main resources for one of my people. And what she did was really cool. It's really neat. If you read her thesis, she did it very well. I want to say her name is Delphine McCrate. I think that's it. I didn't look this up, but I will find the right stuff and post it, at least on Facebook, if not on the actual site for the podcast. But I do suggest everyone listen to it. It's called On Delphine Lalaurie, Mythologizing of a Murderer, or something like that. Very interesting. Definitely take a listen. It is a 4-episode podcast. That is it. First episode is the gory mythologized version of the story. Second episode is more so fact versus fiction. Third episode is having someone else tell it. And fourth episode is discussing it between the other storyteller and Delphine. So giving that away, my three subjects were Elizabeth Bathory, and most people probably know her as Elizabeth Bathory, but it's pronounced Elizabeth Bathory. It's Hungarian. There is no sound, like the TH sound. It doesn't exist on Hungarian. It kind of sounds more like a D. Delphine Lalaurie, or Madame Lalaurie, from New Orleans, and Annie Palmer, who is known as the Witch of Rose Hall, the White Witch of Rose Hall. Really interesting. I kind of even could go into that and just steal the whole rest of the episode on that paper. I'm not going to. All I say is really interesting. If people do want to hear about it, I'd be happy to do an episode on it, because I do think that could be another special episode, because I thought it was super interesting. It has nothing to do with culinary school or pastries. Super interesting, though. Anyway. Yeah. Sorry. After our pastries class, our foundation of pastry, we did do cooking, or professional cooking for baking, and that was with Chef Jack Campbell. He actually used to be, I believe, executive chef for Let Us Entertain You Industries, and that is a... they do several different restaurants. I believe he worked for a high-end restaurant that they own within that corporation. This is also the Beatrix Bakery that I spoke about previously that had the really awesome laminated cinnamon roll, where it was like the sugar also caramelized within the dough. So it's kind of more of a giant Queen Amon with the super basic cream cheese frosting. But yeah, that pastry was delicious. Anyway, he was the executive chef for them. He owned his own restaurant at some point in time. I forget where he said he's actually from. Chef Marianne is actually from the Chicagoland area. At least she was raised here. She is actually from Niles currently, I believe. She had previously been executive pastry chef at a cafe. She also went to Kendall. She's actually really super stupid smart, like stupid smart. And then Chef Jack also is a career change person. I think he went for engineering. I could be wrong. But whereas Chef Marianne actually went for cultural anthropology, I think, or forensic anthropology. She did something with anthropology, which means you're stupid smart. And Chef Jack also did something that means you're stupid smart. And they both make me feel less smart. Chef Marianne's daughter and Chef Jack also have ties to Iowa State and Iowa University, so they both tried to talk to me about that. Could actually converse about Iowa University of Iowa and the Hawkeyes and all. I cannot really talk about Iowa State, other than Cyclones exist, I guess. I am not an Iowa or Iowa State fan. I am a Michigan fan. Go Blue. Anyway, I don't care. I really don't care. It's like when people go Cubs versus Sox. I'm a Sox fan because that's the way I was raised. I don't care. Like, I just don't care at all. I'm a Bears fan, but I don't actually care. Like, Bears had an awful season. I find it hilarious. I prefer the Bears win, but I don't actually care. Anyway. So, in professional cooking for pastry, you learn the mother sauces You learn proper knife skills within reason. Chef Jack was very big on the, hey, I don't expect you guys to do perfectly, but I expect you to try. I expect you to do as well as you can. If you screw up, start over. Not a big deal. It's really nice where it's with Chef Marianne. We were frequently leaving, you know, half hour after class got out, 45 minutes after class got out, an hour after class got out, because the cleanup with Chef Jack, we were generally leaving an hour to 20 minutes to an hour early, just maybe three times in 15 class periods to be stay the whole time. It was also really nice to only have to be there, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, versus and not have to go in the city at all on Tuesday, Thursday. He was really great. He didn't necessarily tell you what you were doing wrong, though, except when he was approaching your cooking. So things he was looking for, he wants you to taste your product before you bring it up to him. Like, that is a big thing on the culinary side, but not on the pastry side. They want you to taste everything before you bring it up, so you're seasoning it properly. Whereas, you know, pastry, you can't really taste your food without destroying it. Like, there's just not a way to taste your cake. You're discovering with your chef instructor how it's going. So there's that, and that's more about the technique more than taste. I don't think they necessarily always expect things to taste great. They just expect it to turn out a certain way. Other than that, Chef Jack, it was about how does it taste? What is its texture? Is the whole shebang? How are you working with your group? There was one day where I did not get rated well on... I always get rated well on working as a team, so I was kind of curious why that happened. I never got an explanation. I did try to ask him about it, and he was like, well, it's in your rubric. It's not. You gave me a number. You didn't tell me what I did wrong, which is my biggest complaint, I think, so far, is don't just, you know, fill out a rubric but not tell me what I'm doing wrong. I can't fix it or do better if I don't know what I'm doing wrong, and I don't mean just by cooking. I mean, okay, if your issue is my hair, tell me. Like, sanitation and professionalism both got better. My hair currently is pretty short. At the time of this class, it was about half an inch shorter, so it wasn't even brushing my collar quite yet. But not telling me that, hey, you need to find a way to restrain your hair. The days I restrained my hair, I got a better marking on both professionalism and sanitation. He also marked me down because I had an injury and I needed to wear a Band-Aid. But I had worn Band-Aids from the school, and they gave me chemical burns. Something about adhesive, the adhesive on their Band-Aids gave me a nasty chemical burn. It wasn't the first time it happened. So I couldn't wear anything over my burn. Like, I had a pretty nasty burn that wasn't healing, probably because I was also having an allergic reaction to, Band-Aid. But I got marked off for that, but he didn't talk to me about it or anything. So it's just like, I couldn't explain, like, hey, man, I have to not put anything on it or else it's not going to heal and it's just going to keep getting worse. And some people are like, oh, that's not true, put Vaseline on it. But Vaseline also would irritate my skin in that particular case. Best thing I could do is just let it breathe. But yeah, that's my biggest complaint about Chef Jack, is not telling me what I was doing wrong, but marking me off for things. I did get an A in the course. He also was one, like, every day there was a quiz, there was a couple of homework assignments, like, we had a costing assignment. Costing is, well, I should say, for Chef Jack, he called it a costing assignment, it was actually a scaling assignment. Chef Marianne gave us scaling, she gave us baker's percentage assignments, and she gave us a costing assignment. So costing is figuring out how much your item is to make. So if you're making a chocolate cake, it's like, okay, a bag of flour costs $14, but you're only using 6 ounces of flour. How much does that 6 ounces cost? But generally everything is in grams. So it's doing a lot of conversion to figure out the cost of everything. Scaling is more so like you're making a cake, and this is also baker's percentage and baker's math. You're making a cake. You know, this is your measurement. How much do you need of this? So, like, it'd give you everything but maybe one or two ingredients, and you had to figure out what you needed. So, like, it'd give you a percentage, but not all the items that were within that. So, you know, you needed 200% sugar, 60% flour, 100% flour. Sorry, it's always 100% flour. But, and then you actually had, I'm just making things up, so don't quote me. But you had 8 ounces of flour, so how much sugar do you actually need? It's like, well, if 100% is 8 ounces of flour, that would mean 16 ounces of sugar is what you need. That is not a precise measurement. Don't think that's how you make a cake. It's not. Don't do that. But, you know, things like that. Like, that's a scaling assignment slash baker's percentage. But then she had ones that were just more strictly about doing the math for baker's percentage. Current class, same thing. All kinds of homework. All kinds of homework. But I will say, I do like the books I've gotten out of this. Anyway, for my next English paper, and with Chef Jack, like, our final there was an actual test. Our final day in that class, we made pork chops with macaroni and cheese. And what was it? Pork chops, macaroni and cheese. And there was something else. I can't remember what it was. It was good. Like, it was tasty. In this particular class, I got to work with someone I was excited to work with. But then I also got stuck working with someone that I can't stand. Truth be told. Because she has no hustle. Like, she has no urgency in her life. It'd be a case of everyone else is cleaned up and she was still eating. And it just, people would be looking at her. Her mess would be everywhere. And she just, you know, never felt the need to get up and move. And when I saw I was working with her, I was like, man, I think Chef Jack may have heard me say, like, she drives me nuts. I don't like working with her. She's not particularly good at what we're doing. And she has no sense of urgency. She's sitting here trying to tell us one thing because it's what she does at KFC, but it's not what he's telling us to do, and she won't listen, and it's kind of messing us up. Like, she, we actually got stuck with another young lady who also wasn't very good about listening or doing what we were told, that screwed up our, like, our last day. I went up to Chef with our plate of food, because you take up one plate of food for the group, because it is all group work, and I said, Chef Jack, that mac and cheese doesn't have enough salt. I'm just letting you know. He took a bite of it. He's like, you are dead on. Guess who got an A for everything that day? Me. And whereas before, I did not. Now he could have been being nice and saying, man, she's half a point away from an A. I'm just going to give it to her. So who knows? But yeah, this person, she just drove me nuts. She's a very sweet, nice girl. I hate using the term... she's not simple. I don't even like using that term because I think it's inaccurate. She is, or slow. She's not really slow. She's just moving at her own pace. No one's going to make her do anything differently. And it's quite annoying. Especially, it's like, well, if you want to work in a professional kitchen outside of fast food, it's also like, how are you working at KFC? Like, this does not translate. You're working fast food. Moving fast is the thing. And tell me you work Fry Station. But this does not tell me that you move quickly, which means you have a lot of people waiting and getting angry. So anyway, I'll stop with that. So after that course was done, the last paper I did for English for that term was a story. And you can write any kind of story you want. So Trinity, a girl I'm currently in class with and had that English class with, she wrote this like super juicy story, like dime store novel, Harlequin romance kind of juicy story where you're just sitting there in class as she's reading it and you're just like, wow, how does it, please continue. Let us know when you continue. And she is continuing it. Apparently it's super trashy and I love it. I can't wait to read it. I wrote the story about us moving to Chicago. Like I do write fiction stories. I have no intention of ever sharing them with anyone. They're for me. Because I don't think they're good enough for anything else, but you know, like, oh, wow. Hers is super fun. Super racy. I loved it. that was our last thing. My biggest complaint with my teacher, which was not very quick on the grading. Like, I turned in my second paper. So my first paper got turned in probably the second week of school. My second paper got turned in the fourth week of school. My third paper got turned in, I want to say, early November. Fourth paper we had 2 weeks to work on, and I turned it in right before the last week of school when we were supposed to turn it in, and then we were supposed to do our final. I had not, at that point, I had only just received my grade from my second paper. And our final was actually to go back through and fix all the previous papers. You could change it however you wanted to, revise everything. Well, how are you supposed to revise three papers that you're not getting any feedback on? Like, I didn't get the feedback on my story until the day after the final was due. I still got an A in the course. I'm not complaining about that. Like, it was just like a, hey, I waited to turn this in until the day it was due because I was waiting for you. And now you're like, well, you needed to fix this and you needed to fix that. And I'm turning it in saying, well, I didn't fix any of it because you didn't let me know until after the paper was due. And I turned things in on time. So I was pretty frustrated. I'm hoping she is my teacher again this time. I am hoping that she does better with the grading. Like we do get to take surveys at the end of each course. So with Chef Marianne, I had a glowing review, just like, hey, she's accurate, she's fair, she explains things. Chef Tom's just like, I love this man, he's great. He's great at teaching, he has a real passion for what he's teaching. Chef Marianne also has a real passion for it, but she's very like boom, boom, boom. But then when you're doing a good job, she loosens up a little bit and you see that she really just loves what she's doing and she loves to teach. Chef Jack, like, the man loves food. He loves food and loves salt, but his doctor told him way off. But he just, he doesn't care. He keeps eating the salt anyway. As long as he stays under 200, he's good to go. 200 for everything, by the way. And, my current chef, I will say again, and she is passionate about what she does. And that's what you want to see. And again, my English teacher is very passionate. She just, timeliness is not her jam. It's hard to fix things when you don't know what's wrong. So after, the quarter was kind of technically over, begins the professional development phase of culinary school. And how that works is you have one day where you're working on your resume and references. You're kind of learning what is expected professionally in the world of culinary, and pastry. I can't say I fully agreed with everything that the woman told us. She herself was a hospitality person. Some of the things she was saying, as someone who is more directly involved with hiring than she's been, as someone who, I mean, I guess she did HR once upon a time, but she's saying one thing. I'm like, really? Because I don't find that to be accurate. Like, she was saying, you can't use coworkers for references, and I was like, honestly, as someone who has hired people, I don't just want to hear from your boss. Especially when it comes to higher up positions, I don't want to hear from your boss, and I don't just want to see your resume. I want to talk to your coworkers, coworkers who maybe who worked with you, who weren't your friends though. Like if they're your friend, if I talk to them, it's like, well, were you guys friends? Yeah, I don't want to talk to them. I want to talk to people who are like, we got along. We weren't really friends, but we did get along. I want to talk to them. I want to know how they feel about you. I do want to hear from your supervisors, of course, but I want to know how your coworkers and underlings felt about you. They're going to be a little more honest than your buddies or the boss that maybe was a little bit removed. So, your boss might think you were great. Your coworkers might be like, we did all the work and that person took all the credit. If you ask like, hey, would you want to work with this person again? No, I would not. Okay, is there a reason? Are you still working at this establishment? Yep. Is there a reason why you wouldn't? You can't really ask, like, well, why not? But if you get four people come back at you like, no, I don't want to work with them again, like, no, then the answer is there's something wrong there, and it's up to the person doing the hiring to find out what's going on or to say pass right at that moment. Because someone could be a genius, doesn't mean they're good to work with. Like Steve Jobs is someone who's incredibly difficult to work with. He was a genius, and you need to be able to decide what's worth it or not worth it, I guess. But that was her thing. You should only use your chef instructors, but really you should be aiming for the dean of students or the assistant dean of students. Like, yeah, it's great to have your immediate supervisor, but you should really be aiming for the owner. She also, like, and it's very different from what I learned several years ago. Like, I was told previously by a law professor slash business t instructor, hey, when you do your resume, you don't want it to be fancy, but you do want it to stand out. If it looks just the same as everyone else's, it's going to get tossed aside, Whereas now in the culinary world, they're telling us, hey, you want like the most plain Jane possible resume? I don't disagree with what they're saying to put in your resume. That part makes sense. But what doesn't make sense to me is we want the plain Jane resume. It doesn't stand out in any kind of way. Like, you know, before, like, use a decent piece of professional looking stationery. Go ahead and put a little border on it, you know, just like on the edge or on the top or something, not like a whole paper border, unless it's very simple, but put something on it so they remember that piece of paper. You know, things like that. Another big thing they said is never give out your references with your resume, which totally makes sense. You don't hand it out until you got the job or until you know they're interested enough to give you the job. They got to ask for it. Agree with that. So that was one day. The day before was a professional training, so to speak. Like, it was all about unrealized bias. Like I already mentioned, my unrealized bias is everybody has them. Everyone is biased. There's no such thing as an unbiased person. There's some people who work really hard to pretend they're not biased. They're biased. It exists. Like, you know, well, I'm unbiased and I don't see color and blah, blah, blah. But those goddamn Republican, that's a bias. You know, that's a very realized bias. You're against someone based on their political aspirations or beliefs. It's still a bias and you need to get over it. Just because someone has different political beliefs doesn't mean you can't be friends. Like, I will say this, I do not support our president-elect, but I have lots of friends who do. I don't have to agree with them, and as long as I know they're decent people, that's all that matters. Lately I've been a little bit worried about some of that, but because they seem to be becoming less decent people, but that's neither here nor there at this moment. Being the point is, everyone has bias. Day three was I'm trying to remember how I did this. Oh, we had my day three, and they split the group up into three sections because it's, you know, a large group. Day three for me was my quarter practical exam, which was making Spritz cookies. I hate Spritz cookies. I don't like them, and I think they were very good. I think I got a better grade on them this time than I did the first time. I passed. It's a pass-fail exam, so when I passed, that was pretty relieving. Then I saw the grade, and I was like, yeah, that's fair. And I know who graded it, because they explained why I got that grade, and I appreciate that. And it would have been a high B on those cookies. I did really well on everything except the actual cookie. It was, like, over-creamed, undercooked, I don't know. It might have been under-creamed and overcooked. Or over-creamed. No. Under-creamed, undercooked. Like, I didn't let it get brown enough. But at the time when I looked at it, it looked fine in that lighting. And then by the time I saw it in a different lighting, I was like, oh, those might be a little pale. But they were good enough. And then, the next day was our field trip. We got to go to the Ferrero Rocher Innovation Center. So Ferrero is the actual brand that owns Ferrero Rocher. They own Nutella. They own the Girl Scout cookies. They own Trolley. They own Black Forest gummies. They own a lot of things. They're buying up the American Sweets, man. American Snacks belong to them. They own Rebel ice cream, I think, which is actually really good. I like Rebel, I think. No, wait. I'm not sure which one I like. They might own Halo Top. Rebel might be the one I hate because it tastes like cardboard. Halo Top is the one I like. Anyway, they own that. So we get to go to their new Chicago Innovation Center, which is actually in the Macy's building. You cannot get in without a key card, in case anyone is curious. You can't even get to the door to check it at the front desk without a key card at that building. So, like, the 3 days before that, I watched someone yank on the door really hard because I thought it was a door into Macy's, and it's not. It is not to do with Macy's. Macy's has clear four doors. This is not one of them. And by the way, the door actually says that. This woman just apparently is illiterate and can't read. But it was a very neat place. It definitely gave me a new thought on career paths. Like, research and innovation is definitely a more reliable career as far as pay. It is a more reliable career as far as benefits. Like, the job I just got, I know there's no benefits coming with it. I know I'm not going to get paid a whole lot, to be truthful. That's okay, because for me right now, it's more about the experience of it. But it does open your eyes to other job possibilities. It is a really cool thing. I got to try some of the Ferrero pro things or Nutella items that are not sold here in the United States. They're sold in Italy and Mexico. I loved one. It was the Mexican one. It's like Dolce something. I don't know. This girl, Yesenia, that she's like 23. She's in class with me. I like her a lot. She's really fun. She's smart as a whip. And she's on it too. She will lash back. She goes to Mexico often to visit family. She loved these things. She was nuts about it. But then we tried this like cereal chocolate treat that I did not care for. Like it, they had whole grains, like literal whole grains. Which, by the way, when Americans call something whole grain, it's like, well, a whole grain of wheat was used to make this, except then we pulverized it, so it's no longer a whole grain. Yeah, guys, it is not whole grain unless the actual grain is visibly present, just so we are all aware. And that's something I've known before I got into this field. Thank you, NPR. Yeah, if you don't see an entire grain, like having little flakes of wheat is not the whole grain, it is a flake of wheat. But yeah, this cereal bar thing had whole grains of wheat, had cooked rice in it, had something else in it too. I was not a fan. Taste wise, I was not a fan. Mouthfeel, not a fan. And then finally, there was another thing. It was a milk bar. I also just did not care for that. Oh no, it was a little like cake, but their cake is more like a bread with chocolate in it, and a little thin layer of custard. I just did not care for it. It was dry. I didn't love it. Other people liked it a lot, so I want my sweets to be sweet. That was not. But that was pretty much the end of that. And that was over right after Thanksgiving. Like Thanksgiving, my family came. We got to go to the zoo lights at Brookfield Zoo. And what else? December is a pretty quiet month, just preparing to go to Disney, getting ready for Christmas, which I will say this, I love our neighborhood. I love the fact that the entire Chicago area is about three times more festive. And it's not just because it's so much larger, just people care. They're not lazy. I do feel like the Quad Cities is just this place where people go to waste away and die. So whether you're in a rich neighborhood, poor neighborhood, people can't take the time to put out Christmas lights on their porch, or on a bush. It takes 10 minutes and people can't handle doing it. It's very festive in the Chicagoland area, guy, and I love it. It makes me realize how sad I was. As a little kid, every house is decorated, and there was always the one house that wasn't. And I was like, you kind of hope there's that one house that is. But here is more like back to the there's that one house that isn't, and then you realize, oh, that house has a decoration too. It's just small and in the windows, so you didn't see it right away. Let's see. But yeah, we talked about mental health problems. We've talked about there's other things that went on that I don't feel free necessarily to discuss at this moment. We went on our Disney trip. Christmas came and went. It was a very small, easy peasy Christmas. We did go to my husband's family's for Christmas. My family just lives too far away, which is pretty hard to adjust to. Like we discovered with my sister's wedding, it's really hard to get to her wedding and back. It's a 6-hour drive essentially. And to just do it for a day, it was too much for us and our daughter. Or we did it for 2 days, and it was just a lot. But yeah. So that is it for episode 4. I don't know when I'll get this edited. Hopefully pretty quickly though. And I will hopefully be back next week, and we'll start talking about my current class, which is pastry technique with Chef Heidi. I'm back in speech. We'll talk about that a little bit too. And from here on out, it's pretty much going to be like next week, I'll cover this first week of classes. The week after that, second week classes, so on and so forth. So I'm always going to be kind of a week behind. February might be a little bit dry. Just because I don't have a kitchen class in February. I just have English. But I'll be working my new job, so I'll get to talk about that within reason. So there's that. True, I'm hoping to do a couple of stages also in February. I reached out to a couple places. Hopefully I hear back from at least one or two of them. One of them I might just show up to again. I already showed up once and asked, so we'll try again. Other than that, I feel like there's something. I'm going to sit here a second and think on it. I don't know. Stage, job, school stuff. Oh. Anyway, I guess I'll talk to you guys later. I'm still trying to figure out music for this sucker. I can't find anything I like. Most of it I greatly dislike. Like the one I liked before and thought I might use, I ended up not liking it at all. So there's that. Again, anyone who might happen to hear this out there, because I know this is now, I know at least two people have listened to it on Amazon. Yay. Based on the fact that the parts of the country where it was listened to, I have no clue who would be there that I would possibly know. Thank you for listening. Stick with me. But anyone who is maybe in the same boat, going back to school at an older age, definitely feel free to reach out. I remember what it was. Yes, that is where my mind works. The fun thing I tried today, I got out of class about an hour early. Well, we all got out of class about an hour early, and I had about an hour before the next train came. So I tried a new bakery. It's not new. It's actually kind of a small chain in the Chicago area. I believe it's just in Chicago itself. It's called Goddess and the Baker. So I went there and tried that. I got a black raspberry and cardamom mocha, and it is a dark chocolate mocha with black raspberry and a hint of cardamom. I liked the idea of it. The raspberry just tasted pretty fake and overly sweet, but not really bright. Like, it didn't do much for me personally. It just tasted weird. But that's me. Other people probably love it. The dark chocolate and cardamom I thought could have been really good together without the raspberry. Or maybe it was just like a brighter red raspberry. It's more sour taste. I don't know. It just didn't work for me. And then I tried their Dubai croissant. What I will say about that is the croissant was actually really good. At first I thought it was a little stale when I first tried it and then sitting at Union Station. But by the time I got home, it actually tasted better. Like the texture got better somehow. I don't really know how to explain that. There was a bite missing out of it. Goddess and the Baker, at least where I could read it, they probably had it up on their board that I couldn't actually read. The Dubai croissant, it looked like a croissant with dark chocolate ganache and something sprinkled on top. It was actually, based on what it looked like in the case, I was hoping to be something kind of fun, like turmeric or cardamom or something different, like some sort of seasoning. It's actually pistachios. And then when I took like two bites out of it, I realized there was a pastry cream inside of it. And I didn't know what it was. I was like, man, that just tastes like pastry cream. It's kind of fun. It's kind of interesting. I actually looked it up. It's supposed to be a pistachio pastry cream. It's pistachio sprinkled on top. I think maybe they did not put enough pistachio flavor in the pastry cream because it just tastes like a regular pastry cream. And I think maybe the dark chocolate ganache they used overpowers a lot. Like it seems like a really thick layer of ganache and it kind of overpowered all the pistachio flavor. Either they need to put more pistachio onto the top to kind of bring out this flavor, or they need to like kick up, you know, the essence or the extract or whatever they did within the pastry cream. It was a really good croissant though. Like I took pictures. It was a good croissant, like the layering and everything. And then, yeah, it's kind of weird the way it picked up on my way home. Like, I had them reheat it, hoping it would kind of... It was the end of their day. I was in there at 11:30. They closed at, like, 1. So, I knew it might be a little stale. They also had to bake in the one I stopped at. So, you know, there's that. But, yeah. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't my favorite thing. I would like to try it again on a different day where it could be more fresh and try a different cup of coffee. They have some other fun, unique-looking drinks. But there's 6 locations within Chicago itself. I just need to figure out which one they actually bake at. And then I also tried their fresh fruit tart. It's different. And again, this is a weird thing where when I first tried it sitting at Union Station, the crust was actually a little soggy. And then by the time I got home, it got back some of the crunch. After I took a bite out of it and had been exposed to air, which is weird, right? But this is, it is a typical shortbread crust, pat sucré probably, which is, sucré means sandy, which it was that. It was a buttery crust. It was a good crust. It was too much crust for my liking, but it was with a purpose and a reason. So, you know, you have your regular pastry shell, and then they had a little secret hidden layer of jam inside. I believe it's strawberry jam. And then they put another layer of their crust. And then they put pastry cream on top of that. And I'm not sure, but I think they bake their pastry cream in the crust. Based on texture of it. I did not care for that part so much. And also, I didn't really just care for the pastry cream that they used. It tasted kind of like almond, which would make it a frangipane thing, and I just don't care for that. But their crust, once it, like an hour and a half after I got it, and it had been eaten somewhat, and they give you this weak fork, by the way, that does not fit in that crust. You gotta take a full bite, like, be kind of rude about it, and then it's better. But anyway, when you get it element by element, it wasn't very good, but when you take a big bite, it does taste better. You know, a very, very big rude bite that no one wants to do in public, but I should have. But the fresh fruit on it, like the blueberries were good, the raspberries were good, the blackberry was good, but they thinly sliced their kiwi and their strawberries, and I could even tell by looking at it that they were wilting. At first I thought they were dehydrated possibly, but they're, it's supposed to be fresh fruit, and then when I bit into it, it's like, oh, that's not dehydrated, it's just wilted. So, you know, I don't know if anyone from Godison Baker hears me out, but it's something to think about when, with a fresh fruit tart. You know, no one wants to have wilted fruit on a fresh fruit tart that, by the way, isn't cheap. I mean, it's not crazy expensive, but it wasn't cheap. But yeah, Godison the Baker, tried it. We'll try again. I'm not going to judge them too harshly based on today, especially considering by the time I got home, it was better than when I got it. I don't even know how to explain that. And I firmly believe that has a lot to do with humidity. Maybe walking around in the wind after it was ripped into a little bit with the lid not being put back up and it wasn't wrapped up again. It was just a plastic bag that I was carrying. Hell, maybe it was just a dryness on the train. I don't know. But yeah, definitely, it's a strange one. It was definitely better when I tried it again at home. But okay, I will talk to everyone later. I'm going to edit this weekend. For right now, I'm just going to shut her down and go work on homework because I got plenty of it. Lots and lots of homework this time around. Lots and lots. So, all right, everyone, have a good weekend. It's supposed to be a beautifully cold day on Sunday. Like, stay inside and don't do anything. We have a plan for gumbo that day. And no plans to bake anything because I will be too busy studying. And then Monday, it's also supposed to be a crappy cold day, Martin Luther King Day. You know, hopefully everyone has some reflections on that and what he stood for and who he was. Other than that, have a good one, guys. Thank you for joining in. Please share, spread it so people can see it. And for new listeners, I apologize for any sound issues. I don't have the best setup and I can't afford a new one. So there we are. Thank you.